Shalom, Keverim. Baruch haba lahol mekshevim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. My dear friends, realize that sound and shade are related? Yes, indeed, there is connection between color and concert. For instance, look in your dictionary at the word chromatic. You will find it defined as a word pertaining to color and also as referring to progress by semitones in a musical scale. Nor is the affinity between sound and color confined merely to semantics. It is found also amongst the discoveries of natural science. As you know, words are sounds, and you have doubtless heard it said that some words are more colorful or more musical than others. And of course, where the soul of some beautiful message is embodied in poetry, you have overheard the remark that it should be put to music. But what of some beautiful message embodied not in poetry, but in prose? Of course, we could still put such a prose theme to music. However, and here is my point, why could we not also put it to color, since both sound and color are chromatic? Take, for instance, the Bible. So much of it has been put to peerless music, but is there not something rather fascinating in the thought of putting its superlative message to color? Parenthetically, let me assure you I have nothing in mind approximating the abortive polychrome Bible, whose motley best befits the clowns who perpetrated it, than the sacred volume by which their folly is judged and exposed. My reference is to its matchless, undying message. Take, for instance, the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the Chumash. What would be your choice of color for its timeless theme? This suggests rather a bewitching project, don't you think so? Of course, those acquainted with the first five books will probably exclaim that since the message is multiple, so also no single pigment could portray its purport. Very well. What are its themes? One of our most competent rabbinic commentators, Rabbi Dr. H. Friedman, B.A., Ph.D., has said that the Pentateuch possesses two central themes: the revelation of the Torah to Israel and the promise of Canaan. I think we can adopt Rabbi Friedman's dual delineation, but hold on a minute, hold on. Do not be in a rush to choose colors to represent these themes. A little meditation will persuade us that the revelation of the Torah and the promise of Canaan are only looms upon which to weave the colored threads of our Pentateuch. Now, what are these colored threads which we shall weave upon the looms of the first five books? Before we can decide upon the colors, we must, of course, identify the Torah themes. Shall we try? In my understanding of the Pentateuch, I discern five principal divinely vouchsafed revelations. Let me enumerate them. First, there is the revelation of deity, of God, the eternal being mysteriously revealed in a unity of a triune coexistent relationship of self-conscious deity, a concept quite beyond the power of mere human cogitation to conceive. It is a supreme revelation from which mankind and human religions have so disastrously departed, but which still remains as a golden thread of precious revelation awaiting rediscovery. Yes, I must choose gold as the color of this precious thread of Torah theme. Secondly, there is the revelation of man, not man as conceived in the figments of modern evolutionary hypotheses, but man as created in the image and likeness of God. Strange, is it not, how human philosophies and refined religions have pushed away from us, with one hand, God, by postulating him as a mere monotheistic metaphysical abstraction. whilst at the same time, with the other hand, as it were, they have pushed man down and away from his dignity by declaring his descent from an ape or an amoeba. Here indeed we discover the poles of man's folly. Since man is marked by the shadow of deity, not the spoor of a simian, I choose the heavenly color of blue to represent the divine revelation of his origin. The third revelation of Torah is inescapable, and the color by which it is represented is equally inescapable. I refer to the revelation of the awful holiness of the Supreme Being. Our great teacher Moses writes, "Who is like unto thee amongst the gods, Yahweh? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" God, by his holiness, is marked off from every human being. He is alone in his moral perfection. He is resplendent in the glory of unshared holiness. We think of Isaiah's trisagion, "Holy, holy, holy, Yahweh of hosts." This is the only thrice-uttered perfection in Scripture, and cannot be divorced from the Tanakh hint of the mystery of that triunity to which I have already referred. It is therefore significant that in the Jewish New Testament, or Covenant, the Messiah uses the term Holy Father. The Messiah is himself referred to as the Holy Child, whilst the Spirit of God is referred to as the Holy Spirit preeminently. It is useless to deny the fact that this great attribute of deity separates and severs God from the heavenly, from the creaturely nature of man. It is this supernal grandeur, this blinding glory, that demonstrates that he must be approached only in the way he has himself appointed, and which is reflected in the conditioned and restricted approach granted unto Israel and delineated and detailed in the Tanakh. With apologies to the pedants for referring to white as a color, I am constrained to select white as the symbol of the holiness of the Holy One of Israel. Since the fourth revelation theme of Torah is that mystery called sin, and since the holiness of God is consistently displayed against sin's dark background, I must choose black as the theme color of sin's sinister significance. What then is the fifth great theme of final divine revelation? Why, happily enough, the very holiness of God will suggest it if we cogitate upon it sufficiently. It is the divine holiness which justifies the human hope that the separating distance between God and man shall be done away. Indeed, his holiness, being the expression of his perfect goodness, guarantees that God cannot have one moral standard for himself and another for his moral creatures. Our prophet, Habakkuk, exclaims of God, "Thou that art of eyes, too pure to behold evil, and that canst not look upon perverseness." By what means, then, has the Holy One, Barachu, banished the distance to behold sinful man and his great moral need? By the divinely appointed means of redemption. Redemption by atonement, and that atonement not of man's decree or doing, but only by God's purpose and provision. Our exalted teacher, Moses, was also divinely entrusted with this great truth. Hear him again as he speaks as the very mouthpiece of God. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life." Blood is the divine recipe for redemption, the divine remedy for sin. Because holiness and love are the fundamental moral attributes of God, the full and final revelation of God that he has granted us is not that he is holy, neither that he is love, but rather that he is holy love in redemptive action towards sinful man. The consummation of this redemptive action of God is disclosed in the vicarious, penal, and substitutionary sacrifice of Israel's Messiah Redeemer, Yeshua HaMashiach, when he shed his atoning blood in the holy city once for all, thus opening up a righteous approach to the Holy One and making possible the sweet affirmation of David, "I shall dwell in the house of the Eternal forever." Our final color, my friends, must be red, as the symbol of that blood redemption wrought and bought by the one whom God sent to save sinners from eternal death and bestow upon them instead the life that knows neither end nor fading. The gold of deity, the blue of humanity, the white of holiness, the black of sin, the red of redemption. These are the color themes of the Pentateuch. Now back to our looms with these threads of revelation. The revelation of the Torah to Israel and the promise of Canaan. The law, the Torah proper, emphasizes the black and the white. The promised land of Canaan emphasizes the gold, the blue, and the red. The law discloses the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. The land discloses the promise of God's dwelling place in the midst of his people, as shadowed forth by the Mishkan, the tabernacle, but supremely by the hint of Immanuel, God with us. The gold become blue to redeem us by the red blood of atonement. That is why the book of Joshua, the study of which I conclude with this message, is tied in and related to the five books, the Pentateuch. That which is promised in the law is performed in Joshua. This statement and relationship is a precious spiritual truth for those of us who hunger and thirst after righteousness, after God, after the peace that comes through righteousness, and whose hope rests in the heavenly Joshua, the Messiah, the gold become blue, who will perform to us and to all who believe all the redemptive promises of God. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.